The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Have you ever had a near miss in what would have otherwise been a really serious accident? You know, you're just driving along and suddenly something happens, or you're in a situation and suddenly something happens, and the only explanation for the reason it wasn't more serious was, I don't know, was an angel there? Have you ever had people say that to you or experienced situations like that? When you think of angels, what do you think of? Well, angels are talked about a lot, but we don't often get to the biblical foundations of who angels are. The word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, meaning messenger. But angels do much more than deliver messages. Last week we started a new series on the reality of the spirit realm. And last week we started with that question of who is God. Today we're going to look at who are angels. And we're going to focus on God's angels, sometimes called the heavenly angels. And today's message is aimed at helping people know who angels are and what they do. And so over the next weeks, we'll then look at how do we apply what we are learning today. So we're going to start with Psalm 148. And it says, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. And it goes through names of a number of other things that would praise God. And then it says in verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. So that tells us that angels were created by God. Well, how did God create angels? Last week I talked about catechisms, and we talked about the Westminster Catechism, the shorter and the longer. In the longer Westminster longer Catechism, question 16 asks, how did God create angels? And the response is, God created all the angels' spirits, immortal, holy, excelling in knowledge, mighty in power, to execute his commandments and to praise his name, yet subject to change. And I'll talk about that change in a couple of weeks' time. But today we're going to focus on God's angels. And we know too that not only were the angels created, they were created before the earth was created. When God is having a conversation with Job in Job chapter 38, God says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While all the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So the angels were rejoicing as the earth was created. Now, when we think about creation of the earth, that includes the creation of the plants, of the animals, and of us. And so when we think of us, we know that humans are created a little lower than the angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 tells us that. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. But what's interesting is that although we are made a little lower than the angels, the role of the angels is actually to care for us. Because in Hebrews 1:14, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So as we read through the scriptures, as we read through the Bible, we discover that there are actually quite a number of different angels with different roles. In the 6th century, a man who they later called Pseudo-Dionysius wrote a treatise called The Celestial Hierarchies. And in The Celestial Hierarchies, he proposed 9 different levels of angels. He based it on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15, 16. I mentioned this passage last week. It says, the Son of Man is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. So in other words, the things that are visible and invisible. And then it names some of those, whether thrones or powers, or rulers, which in some translations says principalities, or authorities, which in some translations says dominion. All things have been created through him and for him. And so based on that passage and others, the celestial hierarchy proposes that at level one, what they call the contemplation of God, there are three levels of angels. The seraphim, which are surrounding God's throne. The cherubim, which are the guardians of divine knowledge and wisdom. And the thrones, that bring the will of God for divine justice, peace and submission. And you'll see that the thrones, dominions and powers, which we just saw in the previous passage, are all named now. So in hierarchy two, the governance of the cosmos are the dominions which govern the cosmos and regulate the duties of lower angels. The virtues that give strength and courage to humanity and perform miracles. The powers that protect against demons and maintain order in the cosmos. And then in the third hierarchy are those angels that interact with humanity. And so these are the principalities that protect the earth, including nations, cities, and significant or guiding human leaders. We see that there are then the archangels that deliver important messages from God to humanity and oversee lower angels. Then the angels that are closest to humanity that protect, guide, and intercede for people. So this celestial hierarchy is the basis of Catholic theology. The Catholic theologians continue to hold to this view, as do some Christian theologians. The challenge with it, though, is that the names and the roles of each one of those nine is not clearly defined in Scripture. So today we're going to look at the four types of angels for which we can see clearly their name and their role as defined by Scripture. And these are the cherubim, the seraphim, the archangels and the angels. Now many of you will know the beautiful hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know that hymn? You've sung that hymn many times? Okay, so in verse 2 it starts off, cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee. What's a cherubim? What's a seraphim? Why does it fall down before God? Well, let's look at that. The cherubim are referred to several times in Scripture, and they are always in the immediate presence of God. They encircle his throne. In Psalm 99, verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake." When King Hezekiah was in a particularly difficult situation, he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim." And when God wanted to make his presence evident to the Israelites, he told them to have an Ark of the Covenant made. And he commanded that two cherubim be made to sit on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And God speaking in Exodus 25:22, God said, "There, above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites." So this place of the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant, sitting over that, was the two cherubim. And that's where God said that he would meet with his people. Now similarly, when King Solomon built the temple, Solomon's temple, and they built the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, in there we see again two cherubim. They're overlaid with gold. Their total wingspan is more than 9 meters. And again, that was to symbolize the presence of the Lord in that place, because the Lord is enthroned between the cherubim. Cherubim are always associated with the presence of God. Now, then there's the seraphim. Now, they're described in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." See, these are the angels that are above the throne of God. Their role is to praise God and declare his holiness. So the next time you hear about cherubim and seraphim, you are singing about these angels that are around about the throne of God. They are in the very presence of God. Now, the next clearly defined group of angels are the archangels. The Catholic and Orthodox churches believe there are three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. But Michael's the only one that's definitively called an archangel within the scriptures. That happens in Jude verse 9. Whenever we see Michael, he's involved in spiritual warfare. In Jude verse 9, we see Michael debating with Satan. In Daniel chapter 10, we see he is fighting against a demonic spirit over the Persian kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven." And we'll unpack that in a couple of weeks' time. But whenever we read about the archangel Michael, he's involved in spiritual battles with Satan. Now, the next one we read of is Gabriel. Now, anyone heard of Gabriel? All right, good. If you heard of Christmas, you've probably heard of Gabriel. Okay, because Gabriel's the angel who comes to Mary to tell her that she would become the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, just before that, Gabriel had come to Zechariah to tell him that John the Baptist would be born. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, in this conversation between Gabriel and Zechariah, Gabriel says to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." So the scriptures don't actually anywhere definitively call Gabriel an archangel, but he's thought to be, since he stands here in the presence of God, and he is sent on very specific occasions to bring very important messages, like Zechariah regarding the birth of John the Baptist, to Mary regarding the birth of Jesus Christ, or to Daniel to describe the end times, what the future would actually look like. So let's now move on to the role of angels. And I'm going to move fairly quickly through this next part. I'm not going to unpack all the scriptures, but I'm going to put them up on the slides. If you want to go back later on and have a look at it, can I encourage you that after tomorrow, this PowerPoint will be up on the Rangeville website, just rangeville.com sermons, and you can go back and watch it and write down anything you want to then. But what we know is that angels play a really key role, or played a really key role, in the formation of Israel as a nation. When the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, Numbers chapter 20 verse 16 tells us, "But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our cry and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt." And then the angel went with them, because God said to them, "See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared." Now, as well as that, we know that the angels were at Mount Sinai. When the law was given, we see a number of scriptures that describe the presence of angels there, including one saying that there were tens of thousands of angels at Mount Sinai when the law was given to the Israelites. And there are many, many places in scripture where we see the angels ministering to save, protect, bring messages to the nation and its leaders. Do you know angels were really significant in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ? At every key point in Jesus' life, we see angels were present and active. For the birth of Jesus, as we already saw, Gabriel came to Mary. I've written there angels, it should be shepherds. The angels came to the shepherds and spoke to them about the birth of Jesus. We see an angel came to Joseph three times in a dream. First of all, to say, "Go ahead and marry Mary." Second time, "Leave Bethlehem quickly." Third time, "It's time that you can come out of Egypt." And so we see these occasions around the birth of Jesus where angels played a really important role. And then after Jesus' baptism, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. He was fasting and praying. Then Satan came to him and tempted him. And then it says, then the devil left him. and angels came and attended him. As Jesus' ministry then continued over the next 3 years, we get to the point where Jesus is about to be arrested. The night that happens, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. He's in this challenging prayer about God's will and what he's called to do. And then it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And so you see angels at really key points in the life of Jesus, including then at his resurrection. We see that Jesus died, he was laid in the tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. And in Matthew 28 it says an angel came and rolled the stone away from the tomb. It then says in John and Luke that angels are there and talked to the women who had come to anoint the body of Jesus. Jesus continued on earth for another 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven. And we see in Acts chapter 1 that as his disciples watched him go, two angels appeared and started speaking to the disciples. But that's not the end. Jesus is coming again. He will come again in glory. And in Matthew 25, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. So Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, there will be judgment. And the angels will play a role in that. Because Jesus said in Matthew 13, 49 and 50, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, we see that the angels play a really important role at every key point of Jesus' life and ministry. They'll continue to play a role in the time to come. But what about now? What about you? Are angels relevant for us today? Did you know that angels are watching over you right now? That angels are helping bring people to salvation. That angels are involved in prayer ministry. That angels praise God. That they proclaim messages. That they provide for people's needs. They protect people. They prevail over evil. And they bring judgment. We're going to have a look at these and we're going to see that there are scriptures that show every single one of these. And just as the angels have done this in the past, they continue to do this today. So let's start with this idea that angels watch over us. Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians 4, said we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. The angels are watching over you and they are seeing what you do. Angels play a really important role in helping bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. We saw earlier this question from Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So as for those who will put their faith in Jesus Christ, there are angels who come to serve them. Angels play really important roles in helping people come to faith. We see, for instance, that an angel comes to Philip and says to him, go south on the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, why would an angel come to Philip and tell him to do that? Because on that road at that particular time, there is an Ethiopian who is traveling and trying to understand who God is and about faith. And Philip goes to him and explains the gospel and leads this man to faith in Jesus Christ and baptizes him because an angel told him to go there. But angels don't just speak to people who've already put their faith in Jesus. Angels come and speak to people who may be inquiring about faith. We see an angel comes to a man called Cornelius and directs him to go and find Peter and to bring Peter back to be able to share the gospel with Cornelius and his family and friends. And this is still happening today. We regularly hear particularly in Muslim nations, of people having dreams and visions of angels that lead them to Jesus. We know that angels love seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, Jesus said, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Whenever someone puts their faith in Jesus, the angels are rejoicing. They are celebrating about that. When you are praying for family or friends or other people to come to faith in Jesus, angels can be part of the answer to your prayer. But not only that, angels can facilitate prayer. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. Now, so this angel is seeing the prayers of God, and often the prayers of God in Scripture are referred to as being like incense that rises up to heaven. And so we're seeing this angel here, and he's standing before the altar, and he's receiving the prayers of the people, and he is directing them into that place of the throne of God. Angels love to praise God. They do that in heaven, as we've already seen with the cherubim and the seraphim, but they've also done that on earth. We know that when Jesus was born, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Did you know that you can ask God to send angels to bring praise? That you can ask God to send angels that would bring worship and shift the spiritual atmosphere in a place. Where there is a place of heaviness, where there is a place of oppression, you can ask the Lord to send angels of worship. And I've had people tell me they've seen angels worshiping here. Has anyone ever seen that, experienced that? Yeah? There are some that have. See, angels love to worship. And as we've already seen, angels proclaim. They bring messages from God. We've already seen Gabriel, who brought a message to Zechariah about John the Baptist, to Mary, who's going to become the mother of Jesus. We see angels come to Abraham with a message, to come to Hagar when she's giving up and she's wondering if there's even hope for her and her son in the desert. And an angel comes to her with a message. Or Daniel, again and again throughout Scripture, many, many cases where we see an angel bring a message at the right time, at the right place. And angels provide for our needs. We've already seen the angels providing for Jesus when he was in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting, in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's been praying. But I love this story where Elijah, he's been up on Mount Carmel, he's been battling a huge spiritual battle. He comes down off the mountain, he then runs through a storm, he's tired, he's exhausted. And it says, then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. See, this angel had come to him. The angel had prepared a meal and then woken him up and said, "All right, it's time to eat and drink." See, an angel was meeting his needs. Do you know that you can actually provide for an angel? Because it says in Hebrews 13:2, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." That's actually a really significant scripture, because it shows us that angels can actually manifest in human form. They can eat and drink and interact with us. And you mightn't even realize that an angel's right there with you at that time. And angels can protect people in times of danger. Many people know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And when the king comes to Daniel, who spent the night in the lion's den, the king says, "Are you all right?" Daniel says, "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions." There's this incredible story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego who get thrown into a furnace of fire. And they look and suddenly there's a fourth person walking in the fire. Or there's Peter who's in prison and an angel comes and wakes him up and saves him from his sentence that would otherwise have come. On one occasion I was praying with someone who became extremely violent. They are thrashing around and I asked the Lord to have his angels restrain that person. And immediately this person went from literally picking up a chair and throwing it to suddenly arms went by the side and they just stopped and stood for quite a time until they just settled and then they just sat down on the chair. Much better. I believe that that was an angel or angels that were protecting in that moment. See, we're given this assurance that an angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Angels protect us. And then there's a beautiful scripture about guardian angels where Jesus says, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. That's the scripture that's used as the basis for the fact that every one of you has got an angel, a guardian angel looking out for you. And angels prevail over the spiritual enemy. In other words, they're involved in spiritual warfare, like in Daniel chapter 10, when the angels are battling against the demonic principality over the Persian kingdom. And there's many other cases in scripture as well. So we see all of these examples and we go, okay, these angels are doing all these really nice and good and powerful things for us. But there's another aspect to the role of angels. Angels bring judgment. God uses angels not just to protect, but to bring judgment from God. In 2 Peter 2:11, it says, yet even angels, though they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. So what does that look like? Well, remember the story of Zechariah? He's interacting with Gabriel and he doesn't believe what Gabriel's telling him. And Gabriel says, because you do not believe, you will not speak until the baby is born. In other words, there's a judgment upon Zechariah that he becomes mute for that season. But it can be much more serious. We see in Acts chapter 12, verse 23, immediately because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. I think it'd be a horrible way to die. But an angel of the Lord was involved in that. And then we see many times throughout scripture that an angel of the Lord comes and actually kills, in some cases, many people. Like in 2 Kings 19:35, that night an angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. That was the Assyrian army that had come to attack Israel. We know too that angels will play a key role in bringing judgment in end times. We've already seen that with an earlier passage, but we see it again in Revelation 16. So this morning, I've given you just a very small number of examples of scripture compared to the total number that are in the Bible about angels. But enough to know that who angels are and what angels can do. Importantly, everything we've just been talking about is in scripture. And everything that's in scripture about what they have done, they continue to do today. They watch over you. They facilitate events and people to help others come to salvation. They worship. They can worship with you and shift the spiritual atmosphere. They can bring a message of encouragement or a message of instruction from God. They can provide for you in your time of need. They can protect you from harm, whether physical or spiritual. They can fight in the spirit realm for you. And the reality is, you won't see most of it happen. You might be aware that something has happened, but you won't actually see the angels in that. because they're in the spirit realm, often the invisible. Maybe you won't even know what they've done to protect you, provide for you, help lead someone to faith. But let me be really clear. Angels are created beings. They're not to be worshipped. There's various scriptures that speak to that. But in the book of Revelation, we see John, who was one of the disciples, and he falls at the feet of an angel. And the angel says to him, "No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God." So what do we do with all this? I mean, we've just heard all about who angels are and what they do. Well, has anyone ever heard of a guy called Billy Graham? All right. So Billy Graham actually wrote a book on angels. And this is one of the things that he says. The most important characteristic of angels is not that they have power to exercise control over our lives or that they are beautiful, but they work on our behalf. They are motivated by an inexhaustible love for God and are jealous to see that the will of God in Jesus Christ is fulfilled in us. That tells us that angels are God's agents to see the will of God in Christ Jesus fulfilled in us. So how? What's that look like? Did you know that when you pray, God can send angels? Again, there's quite a number of scriptures, but let's look at one that's very clear about this in Daniel chapter 9. It says, Daniel's here, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I'd seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight." So this is Gabriel, the one we're talking about earlier, the messenger, believed to be an archangel. As Daniel is praying, and he's praying in humility, he's confessing his sin. He knows he's not perfect. He's confessing the sin of his nation. He knows they're not perfect. And as he's making his request to God, while he's still in prayer, this angel comes to him in swift flight. And then the angel says, from verse 23, "As soon as you began to pray, a word went out which I have come to tell you." As Daniel prayed, God sent Gabriel, the angel, to come to Daniel to speak into his situation in that time and place. You can pray. And God will at times send angels. There are times when you can pray and ask God to release angels to worship with you or around you, to provide for you or protect you physically or spiritually. And later in this series, we're going to look at some of the God-given resources for spiritual warfare, and that will include angels that are there with you and to help you do God's will for his glory. So let's just take a minute and ask, what did God say to me today? For some of you, it might be a prayer of thanks for where you know an angel saved you. For some of you, it might be asking the angels to help bring someone you've been praying for to faith. It might be because you need a word from the Lord, an instruction, an encouragement, hope. It might be in a moment of danger. God help. And he sends his angel. Let's pray. Almighty God, creator of all things, we thank you for making us and your angels. Lord, we praise you on your throne along with the cherubim and the seraphim. Lord, we declare, holy is your name. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank you for angels that worship you and we join in their song. Lord, we thank you that you send angels to watch over us, to provide for us even when we don't know it. Father God, today we've seen from Scripture who angels are and what they do. Lord, as we believe, increase our faith and help us, Lord, to pray in faith for you to release the angels that you would allocate for certain times and places and situations. Thank you for every time an angel has saved us from trouble or harm. And Lord, we'd pray that we would learn how to call upon the angels through you and under your authority, so that we are able to do your will and only for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we wrap up this morning, a couple of things I want to mention. One is, if you are able to be involved in Winter Shelter as a volunteer, we'd love to hear from you. And so either have a chat to Patricia or go to the foyer reception area and let people there know or ask questions you might have about how you could help there in Winter Shelter. If you are new to Rangeville, you've only been coming for a short while, maybe a month or two, then we'd love, or even a little bit longer, but you've got questions about Rangeville. Next week we've got a free lunch for, we call it a newcomer's lunch, a chance to have some lunch, spend some time chatting and asking questions that you might have about the church, and hopefully we can answer them. And so please just let us know if you're interested. If it's okay if you can, don't let us know, you can still rock up next week, but just helps us know with catering. We always have the opportunity for prayer at the end of every service. And so over the side here, we're going to have prayer teams available. If you would like prayer for anything, please come and have people pray with you. If you have a need for physical healing, please come to this side. We're going to have children come in here. They pray with great faith for physical healing and have seen wonderful answers to prayer. So please, if you need that, take that opportunity. I'd like to close with these words of benediction from 2 Corinthians 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You're welcome to stay for tea and coffee if you're able to. That's available in the foyer. And maybe ask someone, have you ever had an encounter with an angel? It's a great conversation point. Have a great week, everyone. Look forward to next week.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.